This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Believe me, if I started murdering people, there'd be none of you left.
We are all evil in some form or another.
I am not guilty.
Kenny Bunn was born June 14, 1992 in Dalton, Georgia, to his mom Trina. And his early life was marred by abuse at the hands of his mother's boyfriend, which left him rather scarred emotionally and at times living with his grandmother, Pat Colvard, whom he affectionately referred to as Meemaw, and that was in Chatsworth. Always a quiet and introverted boy, of course, after the trauma of his childhood, he developed depression and anxiety, leaving him even more socially withdrawn than he was before. In his teen years, he struggled to fit in, and he eventually withdrew into his own space, preferring to keep to himself. The majority of his days spent writing rather dark poetry and listening to heavy metal music in his room. Kenny developed a goth persona. It's a style and look that wasn't well understood, you could say, by some others in his small southern conservative town, which was known more for rolling farmland and tight community bonds. His dyed hair black, and he wore eyeliner and painted his nails and had a number of piercings. He remained painfully shy and soft-spoken. At times, his depression was severe, and as Kenny grew into adulthood, his depression and his desire to numb his psychological pain led to some substance abuse issues. In his early 20s, Kenny had become addicted to a variety of drugs, and he would at times lock himself away from the world in his room for days at a time, interacting at times only online, alone with his addiction. However, by 2019, now entering the later half of his 20s, he decided to work on getting his life more on track. Family members described him as someone who always had a good heart, like always. He had a sense of humor and a desire to make amends for his past mistakes. In 2018, and during the time that drugs were still an issue for Kenny, he started a relationship with a rather unconventional girl named Nadia Swartz, who was 21 at the time. And the couple had met on Facebook, and they shared a lot of common interests. Well, Kenny fell very hard for Nadia, and as a result, their relationship budded very quickly. But Nada grew impatient after a few months with Kenny's insecurities, his shyness, and his need for reassurance, and she broke up with him. And Kenny was devastated by the breakup, and despite his pleas to try and make it work with her, she had said no. But she did keep in touch with him. This lingering connection that Kenny had clung to as a possibility of them reconciling one day. However, Nadia had already moved on to a new boyfriend, 21-year-old Justin Hooker, who was from Dalton. Now, Kenny was not aware of this new relationship, and he still held out hope that Nadia would rekindle their romance. And she kind of enjoyed having Kenny as kind of a backup, keeping him strung along a little bit. On the morning of March 17, 2020, there were some fishermen along the Conasauga River in Murray County, and they discovered the body of a young man initially unidentified because his ID was missing, and the scene raised more questions than answers about how he had gotten there, which was obviously not on his own, based on the 4 gunshot wounds the man had suffered, 1 to his head and 3 kind of about his torso. Based on his tattoos and his clothing and the fact that his family had earlier that day reported him as missing, he was identified as Kenny Bunn. Upon identifying Kenny's body, investigators worked rather quickly to gather whatever evidence they could, and were pretty sure that the answers to Kenny's murder lay pretty close to home, that this had been a targeted and planned murder. So they began interviewing people close to Kenny and traced his last known movements.
So do y'all know what we were talking about?
I'm not sure.
Well, what do you think we were talking to for?
Last night.
Well, I had to go take Michael's, he had a friend over here. I went across the bridge last night, taking his buddy home.
Sure.
I assumed there was something going on over there. Mm-hmm. Don't know what it is, but I assume that might be what you're here for.
Yeah.
I just seen that there was a crime scene there because I had to go across the bridge, take him home. I had to come back. Mm-hmm. But I have no idea what it's about.
Okay. Yeah, it is about the bridge. So it's about Kenny. You remember Kenny?
He's my ex.
Okay.
And the relationship wasn't the best. He got me on stuff. He kept yelling at me about stuff. And
meth is what he got her on.
I'm off it now.
She's off it now.
Yeah. It's hard to do. That's an accomplishment.
She did it on her own, too.
With the help of him. If it wasn't for him, I would have never left.
Well, when was the last time you and Kenny talked?
Last time me and him talked was I wanted to ask him something. So I went over there Saturday just so I could say, because I want to know why he treated me the way he treated me, because he had a knife to my leg and said, if I left, he'll cut it off. Had a knife to my dog's neck and said, if she don't stop chewing stuff up, she's going to slit her neck. I wonder why he was so mean to both of us. Mm-hmm. Got to the point where my dog would hide underneath the bed. I got to the point where there's a couple of times where we had this dog kennel for Outlaw so we could potty train her better, the way my mom did Cleo and Gizmo.
Mm-hmm.
There's times where he'll basically lock me up in the kennel and say, if you leave, I'm going to bash your head in.
Well, so you're saying Saturday? You went to his house. Is that on Sonya Drive?
Yeah, I went to his so I could ask. I just want to know why he treated me that way.
Okay.
Because it hurts. Like, I can't. Those memories are not going to go away. The fear I had and everything that I went through. And I just want to know why. And why he said he didn't mean it. He was so messed up on it to the point where he wasn't thinking about anybody else. He was thinking about his next fix. That's what all he was thinking about, was just his next fix.
Was he still evil?
I don't know. His mom says he's not, but again, he lies to her all the time, and he got to the point where they're lying to me, so I really don't know.
How did he get his money for his?
I work my butt off every single day, and he would yell at me when I get money. He's like, he would be like so mad at me if I don't get his next fix. So I went and got it so he could just not yell at anyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I dropped him off at a gas station and he got mad at me for, I forgot what I said. I don't remember what exactly I said, but something I said ticked him off and he said, pull over, I'm going to walk. So that's what I did. I pulled over. He got out of the car and started walking. I felt bad because I didn't want him walking from the gas station all the way back to Pat's. And I said, hey, can you just get back in the car? I'll drive you back over there. He's like, no, I'm not getting in that car with you. So I said, are you sure? He's like, yeah, I'm sure. I don't want to be around you anymore. So I just drove off.
Okay. Now, what about you, Justin? You and Kenny, had you talked? Or y'all having any issues?
We don't really talk.
Have y'all had issues?
Not since, like, Sonic, which was, like, 2 months ago.
Two?
Yeah, he went to Sonic, and
that's where she works at.
That's where I work at. But he went to Sonic, and I still work there. And he was trying to get me to get him back, and he's like, if you don't come back to me, and my birds are considered a whore.
I told him that he just needed to leave her alone, and he ended up driving off after that.
Yeah, turned, like, whenever he's past Justin. He smiled, flipped him off, and kept driving.
So, and how old were you, Justin?
20.
20. Okay. So I know when I was 20 and somebody would have said something like that to my girlfriend. Did it get a little bit more animated than that? Like,
no.
I know.
Kenny just kept driving off.
So the last time you saw or talked to Kenny was on Saturday, which would have been on the 14th, I think.
One of the first breakthroughs in the case came from some surveillance footage. Nadia had picked Kenny up at a local gas station on the night of the 16th of March, and the cameras had recorded that encounter. It placed her with him the night that he disappeared, which is a rather crucial link in the chain of evidence. Witnesses were also able to tell police that Justin Hooker, the new boyfriend, had just recently purchased, likely illegally, a small caliber revolver from a family member of his, which was the type of weapon that was used to kill Kenny. A coincidence? I don't think so. And neither did they. So obviously both Nadia Schwartz and Justin Hooker were brought in for questioning.
So there's a lot going on. We talked to a lot of people. We're just trying to figure stuff out. I was this side of the story, and a lot of times stuff happens, okay? What we have to determine is, did a good person just... situations get out of control, a bad thing happened, it literally wouldn't happen, or somebody's just a bad person. Okay.
Y'all got wrong people though.
People for what?
If y'all are picking us up, then y'all have wrong people.
Why's that? I understand that.
Because we didn't do anything.
But you and Nadia live from the apartment, Skylone apartment, together. Okay. How does Huma get to work? I was confused if her mom come and
figure out her car.
Is that the Honda?
Yeah.
The blue Honda CRV or is a mission V, right?
It's not only that domestic V, but
like a hatchback, what's the model? Yeah, but it's not a car, but it's not a, it's not like a Tahoe or it's like right in between, right?
Do your routes and stuff. What did y'all do once you got them working?
Well, on Saturday? Mm-hmm. Yeah, after you got them working, let's do it.
Just got back to the house.
So they're part of all.
Yeah.
So Dalton?
What
did y'all do when we got there?
Just hung out and stuff. It's our anniversary. We just kind of watch movies. We post pictures, stuff like that.
Gotcha. How long did y'all stay there?
Pretty much the whole day.
Okay. Did you ever leave it on the phone?
No. I went over to my brother's on Sunday.
Where do your brother live?
He got a new place recently, so I can't tell you the exact address on that.
How long did you stay? What time did you get to James's and how long did you stay there?
I went over there probably around 7 or 8-ish, something like that.
In the morning?
No.
That nighttime?
Yeah.
How long did you stay there?
Stayed there less than a night.
Okay. So you weren't with Nadia Sunday night?
No.
So back to your cousin Kevin that we were talking about earlier, you said you bought a gun from him in the past. What kind of gun did you buy?
What kind? Like when?
Well, how many guns did you buy from him?
I'm not trying to get my cousin in trouble now.
Yeah, we ain't worried about that. Because it's like a little weed. It's just a gun, mate. You can actually sell and buy guns. I mean, it's as long as you're not doing it as a business.
Yeah.
No, that's not what we're here for. So what kind of guns did you buy from him?
I bought a shotgun from him before, but I was already at 10, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
A pistol prone.
What kind of pistol?
It was a 20. The smaller.
22?
Yeah.
It was a 22.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
But what really started to throw suspicion on the two of them were that both of their stories kept changing. At first, Nadia painted herself as a woman caught between two men, one jealous and the other just not able to let go, the poor girl. And Justin, well, he said that it was self-defense, that Kenny had attacked Nadia and he had fired the shots to protect her. But there was no evidence to support that story. Kenny had been ambushed, plain and simple.
Listen, I know what you bumped in on Saturday. I know that you didn't face your bullies because I talked to James today. I talked to Kendall today. Okay, I'm not trying to do it. Listen, I'm not trying to jam you up. But we know we were. Okay? You know that we know. We didn't just show up for you for no reason. We didn't just show up for Nadia for no reason.
As they continued to press on Nadia, her story started to change as well. And the text messages between the three of them didn't really line up with her being just this innocent bystander or that she had no idea what Justin was going to do that night.
I had him in the car with me.
You had?
Kenny in the car with me.
Kenny was in the car with you.
And Justin was in the backseat.
Justin, did he know Justin was in the backseat?
No. Because I just wanted the answers on why he wanted me dead so freaking bad.
So, Kenny was under the impression that just you and him were going to be talking. I mean, I'm asking, is that what you're saying? But Justin was in the back seat. Does Justin have a gun in the back seat?
Justin didn't have a gun.
So when you guys go to this, to the river, mm-hmm. It calms you down. Did Justin stay hid in the back seat?
Justin stayed in the car.
Without Kenny ever knowing he was in the car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Where was he at in the back seat?
He was behind Kenny.
Yeah. How did Kenny not know he was in the back seat?
It was dark, and my lights don't really work in the car. And me and Kenny got out because I just wanted to go in the woods. Justin walked behind me just to make sure I was safe. And Kenny
still without Kenny knowing, though.
Kenny knew. Kenny actually knew he was there because he could hear Justin in the background. Justin actually had it good, to be honest.
Now that's what we want. We want you to be honest. Did you know when he was in the backseat of that car that he had a gun? Be honest.
At the moment, no. Like, at that moment, I did not know. And well, then when
did you realize he had a gun? Talking about Justin. Be honest.
Like, right when Kenny came attacking me and said he was going to kill me if I didn't come back with him, I punched him in the stomach. And Kenny was like, you're going to fucking regret that. And now I'm going to really fucking murder you. And he had that death stare in his eyes, like everything was blank. And after he got up, like after his stomach stopped hurting, he got back up and he came after me. It's like, and I'm like, he literally came after me and he had a stick with him.
Who had a stick?
Kenny. He had a stick on him and running after me. Justin freaked out and basically defended me.
What do you mean he defended you?
He didn't want me dead, so he basically defended me because I had nothing on me.
So Justin shot Kenny two times?
That's what I know. That's all I know, to be honest. Here and here.
Okay, in the stomach and the head. So did he shoot him first in the stomach?
Yeah, so he could go down and drop that stick.
So Nadia and Justin were both arrested and charged with malice murder, felony murder, aggravated assault, and possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony. I do rather love how the U.S., you can stack charges, including multiple murder charges across one murder. Stacking the charges meant that, for the prosecutors, this was not just a crime of passion, but it had been a calculated act of violence that was planned and deliberate against Kenny, who was innocent of all things. So now the family had an arrest, which brought some relief to them, but they course had to wait for the slow process of the justice system, which was slowed even more by COVID that was now sweeping across the globe and disrupting hearings and delaying trials all over everywhere. Just another cruel layer of waiting on an already grieving family. Assistant District Attorney Zachary Wallace made it clear at a plea hearing, quote, "The evidence does not support any claim of self-defense. This was planned. This was a planned, deliberate act. They lured Kenny out there under false pretenses, and they executed him." So they planned on going full tilt after the two of them. And under Georgia law, malice murder is the most serious form of homicide. It is intentional and without any legal justification, which is strange because just regular murder has all those same qualities. It was the use of a firearm that kind of cinched it for them about how serious this crime was. Finally, by late 2022, so more than 2 years after Kenny's murder, the case reached a bit of a turning point. In December, both Justin Hooker and Nadia Swartz pled guilty, and their pleas managed to spare Kenny's family from the ordeal of a trial, but it also meant that the evidence, including the disturbing details of premeditation and manipulation, was presented to them in kind of summary form rather than argued before a jury. And without them having to peruse pictures of Kenny's body and hear the details in graphic descriptions, that was kind of a good thing. Now, how Kenny's murder plays out is both a mix of what is in the plea statement of facts and what the investigators have sort of pieced together as part of their theory of the crime. Nadia's continued contact with Kenny created tension in her new relationship with Justin Hooker, and he resented that connection that they had, seeing Kenny as a threat. And that resentment grew then into him making threats, and those threats grew into him making a plan, or the two of them rather, making this plan. Justin not only threatened to kill Kenny at one time, but also acted on those threats by getting himself a weapon. And 2 days before the murder, he had acquired this small caliber revolver from his family member, preparing himself to make good on his promise. Now, at the same time, Nadia allegedly suggested that Kenny should be killed, which was, of course, feeding the flames of Justin's jealousy. And the pair had talked about it days before the March 16th. Now, whether they both fully believed that they were going to go through with it is not 100% clear, but the steps to it were definitely in motion by that point. So that night, Nadia reached out to Kenny. She lured him with these familiar words that she wanted to talk and maybe even reconcile, maybe see where things stood between them. And for someone like Kenny, who still felt very connected to Nadia, the offer was, of course, tempting. Now, despite that tension that was sort of growing between her and him and his own efforts to get his life back on track, he agreed to meet with her. So he left with her from the gas station, heading toward this secluded spot off Carlton Petty Road, which is near the Conasauga River Bridge in Crandall. It was a rural, quiet and dark, I mean, the kind of place where no one would stumble across what was about to happen. So according to Justin's statement, Nadia drove Kenny to that isolated area where Justin either was there already or he arrived shortly after. And what happened next was brutal, but fortunately very quick. Justin confronted Kenny, an argument erupted, and then Justin pulled out the revolver, shot Kenny 4 times, once in the head, and then multiple times in his torso. Kenny, of course, had no chance. The man who had come there thinking he might reconnect with an old flame was instead ambushed by her and her new boyfriend. The two of them then, of course, fled the scene. In a desperate attempt to cover their tracks, they took Kenny's cell phone and some other belongings of him, hoping to kind of slow the identification process, and then misled some investigators. They left his body near the Conasauga River, which was under the bridge, discarded as if his life meant absolutely nothing. A textbook case of premeditated murder. So in open court, the prosecutors laid out the facts, like how Nadia had encouraged Kenny to meet her, you know, suggesting this reconciliation, how Justin had armed himself in advance, and how together they had driven him to the secluded area off Carlton Petty Road. He said, quote, Hooker then shot him 4 times, once in the head, multiple times in the torso. He died there alone under that bridge, end quote. Family members who were there in court described the experience of being there as surreal, like to hear Kenny's murder reduced to just like a series of bullet points was almost unbearable for them. Victim impact statements gave the family a bit of a voice. Kenny's relatives spoke about his life, his struggles, and his hopes for one day. One family member told the court, quote, he wasn't perfect, but he was trying to change. He wanted to live. He deserved to live. And you took that from him, end quote. So when it came time for sentencing, Judge Jim Wilbanks of Murray County Superior Court did not hesitate. Both Justin and Nadia were sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after serving a minimum of 30 years. Now, the 30-year stipulation was significant. In Georgia, parole eligibility for life sentences can sometimes come earlier, but in this case, the judge made it pretty clear that the seriousness of the crime demanded a very lengthy minimum. And outside the courtroom, Kenny's family talked a little bit about the outcome of the sentencing. They were relieved that justice had been done, but there was really no sense of triumph for them. I mean, for the family, the media coverage was kind of a little bit of a mixed blessing. On one hand, it kept his name alive, like his memory alive, reminding people of the young man that he was. But on the other hand, it was kind of sensationalized, like his death reducing him to sort of a character in a story rather than like a real person who had lived, laughed, and at times struggled. Now, today, Kenny is remembered not for the crime that ended his life, but for the man that he was starting to become. His family often still talks about his humor and his attempts to rebuild and his desire to live his life differently. They mark the anniversary of his death quietly. They remember the son and the brother and the friend that they have lost. And as one family member said, who had said it at sentencing, quote, we'll never forgive what you did, but we will always remember Kenny. He was ours and you can't take that away, end quote. I really connect to this story and to Kenny's family's pain, like the waiting. And then the guilty plea where, yes, you were spared a trial, but it's that the life and death of your person now comes down to like a few paragraphs that just kind of summarizes the details, which are details that you both want to know, but you don't want to know. I mean, I guess you want to know them. You just don't want to live with knowing them, if that makes sense. It's a terrible case and one that I just definitely did not enjoy researching or telling you, but his name deserves to be out there. And that was the murder of Kenny Bunn. And I am going to be back again in a couple weeks with another terrible, awful case. In the meantime, you do your thing with your comments, your rates, your reviews, subscribing to the channel or to the exclusive on Patreon. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.